dilating open and shut to allow us passage, and to make abundantly clear the fact that we were being shepherded, like food passing along the gullet. The walk took us further along the main axis of the spindle, gravity rising as we descended from the end cap, but never reaching anything like 1G. The unlit structures of refuge towered over us like canyon walls at night, and there was no sense whatsoever that anyone else inhabited the place. The truth was that the kind of clientele which refuge serviced were the kind of people who demanded absolute discretion, even from others like themselves. "Has Ryvich been mapped yet?" I asked, realizing that it was an obvious question which so far hadn't occurred to me. After all, that's why he's here.
"Not yet," Quirinbach said. "There are all sorts of physiological tests which need to be made first, to ensure that the mapping is optimized. Cell membrane chemistry, neurotransmitter properties, glial cell structure, blood-brain volume, that kind of thing. You only get one shot at it, you see."
"Ryvich is going for the full destructive scan?"
"Something very close to it. It's still the way to get the best resolution, they say.
Once he's scanned, he won't have to worry about an irritation like Tanner.
Not unless Tanner follows him."
I laughed, before I realized that Quirinbach wasn't making a joke.
"Where do you think Tanner's now?" Zebra said, walking to my left, her heels clicking on the floor, her elongated reflection like dancing scissors in the wall's reflection.
"Somewhere Ryvich has his eye on him," I said, "along with Amelia, I hope."
"Is she really to be trusted?"
"She might be the only person who hasn't betrayed one of us," I said, "at least not intentionally. But I'm sure of one thing. Tanner's stringing her along only until she ceases to be of use to him. Once that moment comes, and it might be soon, she'll be in very great danger."
Chantrell said, "You came here to save her."
For a moment I wanted to answer in the affirmative, to dredge up some tiny crumb of self-respect and pretend that I was a human being capable of something other than wickedness. And maybe it wouldn't have been entirely untrue. Maybe Amelia was a large part of the reason I'd come here, knowing it was everything that Tanner wanted. But she wasn't the largest part, and the last thing I felt like doing was lying anymore, least of all to myself. "I came here to end what Kaweya started," I said. "It's as simple as that." The smoked glass tunnel wound its way up again, towards the far end cap of refuge, and then punched its way into the lightless side of one of the looming airtight structures. At the end of this particular stretch of tunnel was another iris, currently sealed. But this one was gloss black, and it was impossible to see what lay beyond it. I walked up to it and pressed my cheek against the unyielding metal, straining to hear something.
"Ryvich," I called, "we're here. Open up."
The door irised open, more ponderously than those we'd passed through earlier on. Cool green light streamed through the opening arcs, bathing us in its insipidity. Suddenly the fact that I didn't have a weapon, that none of us were armed, hit home. I might die in a second, I thought, and probably not even know it when it happened. I had allowed myself to be admitted into the lair of a man who had everything to fear from me, and no reason in the universe to trust me. Did that make Ryvich or myself the bigger fool? I couldn't begin to guess. All I knew was that I wanted to get out of refuge as quickly as possible. The door opened fully, revealing a bronze-walled antechamber, with vivid green lamps hanging from the ceiling. Bas-relief gold symbols scurried around the walls, iterating similar mathematical statements to those I had seen when I'd spoken to Ryvich. The incantations, which